Come all those who wish to come. Stay all those who wish to stay. Leave all those who wish to leave, but bring no harm to me and mine.
All over the Western world during the festival of Christmas, a jolly fat man dressed in red with a white beard, Santa Claus, secretly visits every kid, bringing them presents.
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Prospero año y felicidad!
He isn't harmful or scary. Over the decades, Santa has become fatter and more friendly. But about 100 years ago, he was quite thin and wore green. It's November and raining in Reykjavik, the capital of Iceland. I've come here because here they have not only one, but 13 Santas that they call Julesveinar, or Christmas lads. I heard that they're not jolly, but more like tricksters.
Let me tell the story of the lads of few charms who once upon a time used to visit our farms. They came from the mountains, as many of you know, in a long single file to the farmsteads below. Grilla was their mother. She gave them ogre milk, and the father Lepaludi was of a loathsome ilk. They were called Jólasveinar, Yuletide lads. At Yuletide they were due, and always came one by one, never two by two.
I'm sitting in a small cafe in Reykjavik and speaking with the author, Sean. How is it with the Jólasveinar?
Yes, of course, you know, that was the big adventure of December. The Christmas lads or our Santa Clauses, they start going around 13 days before Christmas. What you do here is that you put your shoe in a window on the inside, one shoe only. Each morning you can expect a little treat in a shoe, if you're good. But if you behave badly, they will give you a potato. And that is a huge disappointment, of course, to get a potato instead of a little sweet. And they come, you know, in a row, so you basically know which one is coming each night. Until the day of Christmas Eve, that's when the last one comes. And you hope to get like a little bit bigger treat from the Santa Claus there. Santa does not bring presents apart from the present that you get, the little treats you get in your shoe. My son is 9, and he still believes the Santas come around. And he's also a little bit scared of them. Because now he's got the idea in his head that we actually have to be very careful where we put the Christmas presents that we are buying for each other and that we will give on Christmas Eve, because he's heard recently that they've started stealing Christmas presents. You know that they are quite tricky, you know, because all the rhymes and all the songs speak of their rather naughty deeds. I think all Icelandic kids are quite scared of them. Yeah.
Which one is your favorite?
My favorite was Stuver, is the little one. Stuver means stubby. The other guys have names like, you know, Kjötkrokur, who has like, you know, this big hook that he uses to steal meat and things like that. So I still get presents from Stuver.
My name's Terry Gunnell. I teach folkloristics in the University of Iceland. We're sitting here having a cup of tea. The figure that we see in shopping centres, I might refer to as a Coca-Cola Santa Claus, with the red and the white clothes and the boots. A friend of children. But he's very different to the sort of figure that my children in Iceland have been frightened of, which is the mother of the Christmas men. That figure no child ever wants to meet. She's a figure called Grilla, who goes back, in fact, to the Middle Ages, and initially wasn't connected to Christmas at all. She was just a figure that was out there in the darkness. Maybe related to the Celtic or Irish figure called the Caoilleach, who is a woman who is a personification of wintertime and a sort of ogress. And Grýla, whose name means growler initially, from my own research at least, seems to be that. Over time, she's come to be connected to the Icelandic Christmas figures, and what happens with them is that they look a little bit like aged Hell's Angels without motorbikes. They're very similar to the idea of Mad Max and his gang. Their names are Meat Hook, Sausage Swiper, Door Slammer, Window Peeper, who's the most has most trouble from the police these days. We do find the same sort of figures in Western Norway, also called the Christmas Lads. In Norway, they are closely related to a group of beings called the Oscarrei or Oldinsrei, means really the Wild Ride, which is known over quite a wide area of Scandinavia and also Germany, which are a bunch of spirits that come down from the mountains as Christmas approaches, and then, according to legends, would take over houses at Christmas.
In the darkest winter, you know, they the Christmas lads, they thrive in the cold. They are a creature of misery. They're miserable creatures. I mean, they have this horrible mother, Grýla, who is basically a cannibal. Their father is a good for nothing old troll lying dirty in his bed whilst he sends them out. And of course, their real job is to snatch kids and bring them back to their mother so they can be eaten. And this is like tales that you tell in the dark.
I'm an Icelandic composer and my name is Hafliði Hallgrímsson. As a boy, I was used to a little yellow book with these poems and very potent pen drawings of the Yule lads. It was very memorable, you know, they stick in my mind. My favorite was Hurðaskellir, the one who slammed doors. The sort of thing I used to do myself, run around the house, slam doors, and hopefully the hinges would squeak as well. I see you've got a calendar here, looking at these modern illustrations here. So they take on board a sort of standardized Nordic or Scandinavian illustrations. It is not very Icelandic. The children are well-dressed. It doesn't really frighten me in the same way as these old drawings used to do. As children, we put shoe in a window. And it was a great excitement to wake up and have a look in the shoe. There wasn't very much money in those days, and we didn't have many sweets. What I would often get were a few raisins, quarter of an apple. I was lucky if I got half an apple. I grew up in Akureyri, which was then a small town in the north of Iceland. And there were five of us children. My father died when I was very young, so my mother was left to bring us up, and did that with great courage, enthusiasm and energy. And I have wonderful memories from Christmas in Iceland. House, he managed to keep the house clean, do all the cooking, buy presents, and then run off and sing in the church choir and be home in order to have the meal at 6 o'clock. It's a miracle to me.
It all happened during one of those nights at Hvammur in the Laxárdalur Valley, when just about everyone was out attending Christmas Mass, and only a few remained, all alone, to guard the farms. When the pious folk returned to their farms, they couldn't find those who had been left behind. They had all disappeared. After 2 years of this, on the third year, quite naturally, no one wanted to be left alone on Christmas night, with the sole exception of a stranger who needed lodging. So when the others had all gone, this man sat down and took out a good book, and was in the middle of it when he heard a strange noise, a tramping sound in the snow. It was outside, in front of the farm. He quickly blew out the light and squeezed himself between the wood panelling and the turf wall of the house. The front door swung open, and the sounds started moving into the living room and grew more frightening, scuffling and shouting, angry. People of some kind. Voices echoing from every corner. They grew happier in tone, as if they had realized no one was at home. Lights were lit, tables dragged to the middle of the floor, cloths spread across them, and all kinds of decorations and indescribably wonderful food were laid out. There was dancing and drinking. When the party was going full blast, the man suddenly leapt out from behind the panelling. The hidden people, for that was who they were, jumped up from their tables, out of the house, and ran up onto the heath, heading for a big crevice in a mountain. The stranger rushed after them at full pelt, but the whole group of little people suddenly vanished into a huge boulder. As for the man, he walked back, sat down at the tables to tuck into the finest feast he had ever seen, delicacies and drinks all laid out before him. After that time, there was no more trouble from elves on Christmas night at Hvammr.
If you want to find an explanation, I think, for these Icelandic Santa Clauses, I think they represent the fear of hunger in the darkest winter. Because what they do is that they come to your house, basically, in the old tales, and they take away food, they take away light, they're slamming doors, you know, they sit on the roof and tear up the roof and do things like that, you know. So they're basically, I think, they represent the fear of the darkest winter, you know.
Do you believe in the hidden people?
I would start believing in them if I saw them and had the direct contact with them. But I have to believe the people who tell me these stories in all honesty, that are completely sincere when they talk about them. Because you have people from all sides of society, all parts of society, who have these experiences.
I'm in Hafnarfjordur, which is the town just outside the Reykjavik, pouring with the rain, it's quite miserable. And I'm here with Sibba, which is a hidden world expert.
Yes, Hafnarfjordur is the capital of the elves in Iceland. Here they live in big numbers all over.
Have anyone on the trip ever seen any of the hidden people?
Oh yes, it's every year somebody that comes on my tour is a seer, and people from different countries.
Oh. Just passing some really huge rocks.
Yes, this is the park, Hellisgerði, and here is the biggest colonies of hidden people, elves and dwarves, and all of them. They live in this beautiful park.
It's really rocky park.
Yes, this is a lava field from about 7,500 years ago, so it's very young. Björk, we call these trees Björk in Icelandic, like the singer.
It looks like a grotto or something. It's very magical, all these piles of rocks who doesn't seem to appear natural at all. It's just, they're not round or anything. They're really edgy and dark and grown up with moss. How can I spot a hidden person?
Well, you see my red pointy hat? Many of them have a red hat like that, and they love colorful things, colorful clothes. Then you can always look under the nose, because this part is almost missing, and then you know.
This septum, part, the middle bit between the nostrils, yes, should be hidden.
And we also have stories about an old tradition, how when everybody in Iceland lived on a farm, the farmer's wife usually would go outside Christmas Eve, walk around the farmhouse and say, "Come those that wanna come, and leave those that wanna leave, but do no harm to me or my family."
But have you ever seen any of them?
I have seen them only in my dream. But I think in Iceland, in most families, there is somebody in the family that will tell stories about the elves. In my family, it was one of the older men, he was our uncle, and he told stories how he would play with his friend that was an elf when he was growing up on the farm. And the elf friend helped him watch the sheep, because this old man said he had many chores He didn't hardly have any time to play, but his friend helped him watch the sheep, and he said he would never have managed without him.
That's a very nice story.
Thank you.
I've heard that there's a woman in this gallery that's been seeing the hidden people.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Shall I make coffee for you?
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Thanks.
And you have actually seen some of the hidden people?
Yes. I was 18 or 19 years old. I was sitting just grass or something, you know, in country. Then he came. He was a small person, very old, but very small, and he had very dark hair, and he had a hat, green, and he had very strong colors, red and something like that. And he was a little bit ugly. I'm not supposed to say that, but I felt he was like old but little. He was like I don't know.
Like 40 centimeters?
A little bit more. He come with me and he showed me into his house. It was a very small house, but everything he made was out of violet flowers. You know, the purple flowers. His chairs, his table, everything was made of flowers. He crawled up to my shoulders and whisper in my ear, "Remember listening," and nothing else. I felt like the elf don't like to talk to people, usually. They don't like much our kind. He went away and disappeared.
What was his voice like?
Very low, you know. Remember listening.
Mental lusta.
On Christmas night itself, so a wise man writes, the lads were all restrained and just stared at the lights. Then one by one they trotted off into the frost and snow. On Twelfth Night, the last of the lads used to go.
I'm from Norway. We don't have 13 Santas there. But every farm has a farm elf we call the Nisse. This gnome-like character watches the animals for a small fee consisting of a bowl of porridge at Christmas. Over the years, he has merged into the Western Santa and become the Julenisse and brings presents at Christmas Eve. But only if you have remembered to set out the bowl of porridge with a knob of butter in the middle.
Every farm across Scandinavia seems to have had a protecting figure, who was often associated with the farm grave mound, supposed, believed to be the grave mound of the first settler, who might go back to the Bronze Age. You mustn't cut any tree down that's on the grave mound there, you mustn't cut the grass, you mustn't take anything off it, because something will happen to your farm, it can burn down, you'll lose your luck. You take out the new bread, the new butter, the new ale, and leave it on the grave mound in the hope that this figure's going to protect you. And he will protect you against, for example, the wild ride that could attack your farm at Christmas time. And then gradually, as Santa Claus moves in, the two get mixed together. But it does cause trouble for children because you've got global images of Santa Claus with a sled. And none of these figures in Iceland or Norway or Denmark or Sweden use sledges at all. Certainly no reindeer. They walk. Iceland has never had a single Christmas figure. Quite interesting, because it was one of the very few traditions that didn't come to Iceland from the rest of Scandinavia. And to my mind, this is simply because when they came to Shetland, for example, they found grave mounds, and we have belief in the farmyard protector in the figure of the brownie up there. When they came to Iceland, on the other hand, nobody had been living there before. So there is no tradition of the aged man on the farm. It was an empty area. The people in Iceland have a cooperative approach to these spirits, and that's really the same, I think, across all of Scandinavia. The church worked against it, of course, wanted to turn them into evil beings.
Their footprints in the highlands are effaced now for long. The memories are nothing but image and song.
Midwinter night, cold and hard. Stars glitter and shine. Everyone asleep in lonely farms, deep in the midnight hour. The moon wanders silently. Snow lights up the trees. Snow lies white on roofs. Only the Nisa is awake.
It's a time of spirits, and it's a time also of the dead. When the dead come and visit us, in a sense, in our memories at Christmas time, and they visited the farmhouses too, and, which you see, of course, in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, is the same sort of threat. My oldest daughter had a very strong belief in Santa Claus, and it was a beautiful belief to observe. The belief was so strong that even her Icelandic friends used to come around. They stopped believing in the Icelandic figures and used to come around to our house to see the boot print outside and so on, and they started believing even in Santa Claus in Iceland. And it was very difficult, of course, to explain these beings as she grew older. But what I told her was, in fact, of course, there is a Christmas spirit. There was something in the First World War that stopped people killing each other for one night. There's something that inhabits people at Christmas time that makes them want to give people presents at Christmas time, that inhabits people, that takes them over. And in that sense, the Christmas spirit exists, and the longer that it exists, the better.
Koma þeir sem koma vilja, veri þeir sem vera vilja, fara þeir sem fara vilja, mér og mínum að meinalausu. Come all those who wish to come. Stay all those who wish to stay. Leave all those who wish to leave, but bring no harm to me and mine.